A blessed good afternoon to each of you. We're glad that you're here this afternoon and that you are here to serve God in spirit and in truth. And we appreciate so very much that you love God. It's certain. Especially the members here who have been here every night this week thus far and have participated in our study of God's Word. I appreciate you. And I certainly appreciate my brethren from other area congregations who have come to join us and to be with us as we study from God's Word tonight. We appreciate that. I also want to take the time to thank you once again for your hospitality. Appreciate the time we spent with Brother Ron and Terry tonight. And also last night I said Sean, but Steve and his family, we appreciate being with them as well. And we are so thankful to have this opportunity. Before we get into the Word of God tonight, let us go to our Father to prepare our hearts and receiving a portion of His Word. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank You so much, who is rich in grace and mercy. We thank You, Father, for Your power, for Your Word, that gives us the understanding as to who You want us to be, how we should live in this world. And Father, if we're not careful, we will be caught up with the things that we see happening around us. But we have to remember, Father, that we are a distinct, special, royal priesthood. There are things that we have to give up, Father, if we want to live in eternity with You. And we're willing to do that, Father, because of what Jesus has done. We ask, dear God, that You would open up our hearts and our minds as we search the Scripture tonight and we meditate on it. And we pray, dear Father, that we will add to our faith those things that we need to add, making sure, Father God, that we are pleasing You in everything. This is our prayer in Jesus' most holy and blessed name. Amen. You know, we begin with this scripture on Sunday. Actually, last night we referred to it as well. And tonight I want to go back to the book of 2 Timothy. And I want to look at verses 1 and 4. And here the Apostle Paul is writing to this evangelist Timothy. And he says to Timothy, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulties. Treacherous, reckless, swallowed with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. When we see this text and we meditate on what the Apostle Paul says concerning those who will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, I want you to answer this question in your mind. Have you been enslaved by entertainment? Have you allowed yourself to be drawn away from God all because of entertainment? And I'm talking to God's people here. Ask yourself on this evening, assess yourself, test yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Ask yourself, have you been enslaved to entertainment? Well, this is the first Thursday. Everybody's gathered together in this room. And the director of the meeting, he comes forward and he says, take your seats, take your seats. And there in the meeting was the engineer, there was the homemaker, there was a high school graduate, a 36-year-old guy who just was laid off from work. And this lady, she was new to the meeting. And she came and she took her seat, and as the meeting began, everyone got up and introduced themselves. And then it was her turn. She got up and she looked to the audience and she said, hello, my name is Lisa, and I'm addicted to entertainment. Have you ever heard of a 12-step program to help people to deal with entertainment? I believe that someone needs to start such a group in the future. And the reason why I say that is because entertainment is dominating our lives. For you see, we live in a day and time where entertainment is ever before us. We can't get enough of it. Think about the tube. We can find television just about everywhere and anywhere. The tube is in our homes. It's in our cars. You're standing at the bank, it's there. At the grocery stores, in the restaurants. We even find these form of entertainment on our handheld devices. Children, you know, can watch TV up to 24 hours a day. That's if their parents allow them to. But I would have you to know that there was a time wherein TV signed off. Now, kids are saying, what is that? Yes, there was a time where there was no TV after 12. You can turn the channel all you want. You are not going to find any programs on the television. But today we have full access. Now, I know most kids says, well, I don't think y'all are human. There's no way that I will be able to survive without television. You got to be kidding me. My kids often ask me some stuff like, hey, Dad, did you have a telephone when you grew up? I'm like, I'm not that old. Yeah, we had telephones. Actually, the other day we were showing them the telephone booth where you can make a telephone call. And they thought that was just something that they never seen. Well, they didn't never see in their life, but they thought that was something strange. I would have you to know that in America, there was a time when television signed off. And at the end of those programs, you know what they used to do? Various things. One thing that I remember is that they would have a prayer. You won't see that anymore. Or the national anthem. Oh, say get. That was it. You weren't getting anything else until the next morning. But now, TV is everywhere. We're being entertained all the time. What about parents? You want to go to the movies? You can go to the movie if you want. But if you're sick and tired of people talking while the movie is playing, then drive over to the Red Box. You don't want to get out? Then pull up a show on Netflix, on the dish, or download one from the internet. Having fun and being entertained is everywhere. And for some people, this is the highlight of life. There are those who would say, you only live once, so live it up. And we are a culture that is dominated by entertainment. But my question that I have for you is this: how does entertainment affect my spirituality? My question that I have to ask myself, and I want to ask you tonight, good folks, is this: are we lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? For you see, it's easy for us to point out sinful entertainment. And by the way, I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm not talking about sinful entertainment. But what about the possibility of having too much fun, wholesome entertainment that can cause me to displace my spiritual well-being? Most of the time we think of those who have played the lottery. Most of the time we think of those who would do things that contradicts the word of God. But friends, I'm not talking about that tonight. What about wholesome, good entertainment? Can we get too much of it that it causes us to lose focus on what really matters? Could it be that I have become a worshiper of entertainment and is addicted to it? The question that we need to ask ourselves is, do I crave it all the time? When I am too tired from all the fun that I had on Saturday night to worship with my brethren on Sunday morning, could it be that I'm addicted to entertainment? When I'm sitting through worship and I'm thinking about all types of things that I want to do, could it be that I'm an entertainment junkie? I can't wait for service to end so that I can get home and play to be entertained. Could it be that I'm addicted to entertainment? When I'm thinking about which sports team won the big game on Sunday instead of focusing on the Lord's Supper, could it be that I'm addicted to entertainment? Let me make it clear to you tonight that I want you to understand as we continue in this discussion that I'm not suggesting that there's something wrong with entertainment, that it's sinful to be entertained. No, sir, I don't believe that. It's not wrong to have fun. It's not wrong to have time to yourself. And certainly, Jesus, he attended, was present at a wedding feast. But you know, our Lord was busy about the Father's will. And there were times in which we read in the scriptures, as we look at Mark, the sixth chapter, please. Mark chapter 6. And at verse number 45. There in Mark chapter 6 at verse number 45, we see that there's a time when Jesus had to get away from it all. He had to separate himself from things in life. And the Bible says at verse 45 in Mark 6, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. While he dismissed the crowd, and after he had taken leave of them, get it now, he went up on the mountain to pray. Our Lord got away from it all. He went to the Father alone to spend time praying to the Father. Entertainment, number two, is a diversion to life. The sole purpose of life is not to have a good time and to be entertained, but it is a diversion to life. Sometimes we need to remove our minds from what is going on. And entertainment serves that purpose. Entertainment provides an escape, a break from life. But the diversion can become life itself for some people. Let me ask you this question. Why are you here? Who created you? If you answer God, I will say correct. But why did God put us here? What is the purpose? Why do we live? Well, when you look at the book of Genesis, the second chapter, I feel that we have a hint here. There in Genesis, the second chapter, at verse number 15, it answers the question for us as to what are we made for? And the Bible says the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been made, we have been created to serve God, to work, to bring glory and honor to God. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't know what all it entails concerning the work that God initially gave man, but I will tell you this. It did not have anything to do with sweat from the brow and toiling the ground. That didn't come until sin. But whatever work it was good work. But not the type of work that we will later see will be introduced to mankind. But God created us as a special, distinct being to serve him. And he blessed us. He gave us all of these things on earth, all these things for our pleasure. But let me understand that the sole purpose of my existence is to bring glory and honor to God. But friends, what has happened in our country, what has happened throughout the world, is the fact that so many people have been drawn away by the God of entertainment. When I read my Bible and I read of a man who was entertained with everything you can think of, what did he have to say about entertainment? What did Solomon have to say about constant fun? Well, he said in the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter in verse number 2, he said, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What do you mean? When he talks about life and searching for answers, finding pleasure in things, he came to the conclusion that all is vanity if you're looking to self, if you're looking to be pleased by the things of this earth, it's vanity. Furthermore, he said there in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, Beginning at verse number 2, Solomon said, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I search with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guarding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forests of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me and Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and treasure of kings and providences. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines. Solomon had it all. Here was a man who had a forest as his garden. Here's a man who had music at his fingertip. Here's a man who had enough money. He would put Bloomberg and Bill Gates to shame. He can just use their money as pocket change. He had it all. He searched for it all. And what was his conclusion? What was his conclusion concerning being entertained? What was his conclusion? All is vanity. Let's look at verse number 9. He said, so I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And listen, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. That's the problem. That's the problem. The pride of life. The lust of the eye. The lust of the flesh. When we come to the New Testament, aren't we warned about that? And what does entertainment do? It draws us away from God. By the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. He says this at verse 10. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no, get it please, N-O. I kept my heart from no pleasure. For my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. But then you look at verse number 11. After saying all that, Solomon said, then I consider all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Here's a man who was entertained, good people. Here's a man who was trying his best to serve God, but he was distracted in his life. And I want you to know that most of the things that we list that he was doing were good things. Of course, when he was drinking and doing those things, it's not good. But he got distracted. But he came to his senses and he realized at the conclusion of it all, what was his conclusion? After he considered everything, there was nothing to be gained under the sun. The point is this, chasing after entertainment is emptiness. And you know what, folks? Some people commit suicide all because there is no happiness in being entertained. Don't allow Hollywood to deceive us, to get us to think that they got it all, that they love their life. And some do. But it's sad to see the devastation and the havoc that is caused on the family because of entertainment.
You know, in Revelations, the 22nd chapter, at verse number 3, as the Bible students are turning there, we look at Revelations, the 22nd chapter, at verse number 3. Here we have a description of heaven and what it will be like. There in Revelations, the 22nd chapter, at verse number 3, the Bible says, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. What did you say? The servants of God will worship Him. You know, the fact that worship mortifies some people is a frightening thing to think about. People have a hard time coming to worship God because of entertainment. But you're here tonight. And although I may use some rhetorical devices, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm compassionate about the Word of God. And I hope that you are compassionate about it too. And we're here to worship God. But some people, they have a problem worshiping God. They want to go to heaven. But to me, it's hard to imagine how can you worship God in eternity when you can't worship God for 30 minutes. But we have no problem standing in the rain, cheering our team on. We have no problem standing in the line. Brother Steve's daughter, and I got it right tonight, was telling about the championship that Cleveland won with LeBron James and how it took 5 hours to get downtown. Now, I'm not speaking against the game because, Charlotte Bobcats, we ain't got no hope right now. I would have been down there too. But nevertheless, it took them 5 hours, I think, to get to the parade. And thousands upon thousands of people. A trip that normally takes about 20 minutes took about 4 hours. And people were willing to do that. But you know what's sad? That people are not willing to do that when it comes to God. We do all that we can to be entertained, but how much do we do to be spiritually filled? Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The point is, we want more. We have to have more. How much in love are we with entertainment? When will we say that that's too much entertainment? You see, parents tell children all the time, that's too much, turn it off. But how often do parents tell themselves, that's too much, cut it off? They will say to their children, I remember growing up, don't be a game head. You don't want to waste your life playing games. Well, we can't say that much anymore because you make a lot of money playing games these days. But you see the point. Parents understood that there's something else. I want you to be productive. And I want you on the chair playing games. And let me tell you, once again, don't misunderstand. It's not wrong playing games. Whether you're 30 years old, 40 years old, if that's your thing, you do it. The question I'm asking you tonight is that game or whatever you do for entertainment, is it pulling you away from God? That's the question. Is there anything more meaningful to life? How can I know if I'm addicted to entertainment? You know, being entertained, once again, is not wrong. Working is not wrong. But too much work makes one what? You got it, a workaholic. And too much entertainment makes one what? I guess an entertainmentaholic. You might say that's not a fair comparison. Well, that's a good place to start. Have you ever said to yourself, that's boring. I'm not going to spend time reading my Bible with my children. Do you purchase entertainment products frequently? Am I addicted? As soon as you receive your paycheck, do you find yourself spending much of it on some form of entertainment? Before your paycheck reaches the bank, has it all been dwindled away on being entertained? Or are you a slave to the lender? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7, the Bible says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is a slave of the lender. Listen, folks, we need to get a hold of this passage. We need to put it into our minds. We need to think about it when the next time we take out this credit card. Or are you in debt because of vacation, multiple cars, boats, the salon parlor, and sporting events? What about owning several different kinds of electronic products, such as the PlayStation 1, 2, 3, and 4? What about the Wii, or the Wii U, or the Nintendo DS, the DSi, GameCube, the Xbox 360, the Xbox Elite, or One, golf carts, hunting, fishing equipment, guns, shoes? We will even build special rooms and call it man caves, all for the fact of being entertained. We're bombarded with get it now, pay later, no money down, no payments until 2025. Bad credit, no problem. Credit cards, minimal payment plan as low as $15 a month, but an APR as high as 30%. Really? Bank debit cards, draft fees eats away at our livelihood, and there's no wonder we cannot support the local work. Taking out loans to pay off another loan, all because we blew all of our money on being entertained on the weekend. What about our income tax? That's gone. Could it be that we are addicted to entertainment? Are we entertainment alcoholics? You see, if someone you knew spent the same amount of money on alcohol that we spent on entertainment, we would say that that person has a problem. We would consider that person to be addicted. But what about us when we spend about the same amount on entertainment? Is entertainment dominating my life? When entertainment is dominating my life and I'm broke because of it, ask yourself, do I have a problem? And I want to tell you something. You know, it's not PC in our country to say that you have a problem and that you're addicted to things. It's not PC. What we want to do is try to change it around and say that we have a behavior problem. Or we tell ourselves, Brother Don, that I deserve this. I worked for 20 years. Man, I deserve to go buy this new brand new gun. I deserve to go buy this flat screen TV. What are you talking about? I work about 36 hours a week. Some people laugh at that. Says that's no real job. I'm home with the kids all the time. I deserve to have a little free time. We tell ourselves that. And you're right. We do need a break. But sometimes I get confused. Needs and wants get confused. Do you need a little downtime? Yes, sir. Most of the time we are searching for our wants. Some say, when I'm off from work, it's my time, and I'm going to do with it whatever I want. And let me say to you, you're right, it's your time. But not so with the child of God. He understands. For the Christian, he recognizes that Jesus is Lord and he is Lord of our life, time, and money. And so as he considers himself and what he or she is going to do, he's thinking about Jesus. He's thinking about how to please him with all of his resources. It's just not about the cash, folks. The time that I spend watching 3 or 4 movies in a row could have been a time that I could have been spending on my knees praying with my brethren. The time that I spend at the golf course could have been a time that I could have been with the brethren passing out flyers. Once again, folks, I want you to understand. I'm not suggesting tonight that we shouldn't have
time to enjoy things. I enjoy having fun. I'm preaching to myself. But I got to make sure I understand that Jesus is Lord of my life. And I serve Him. And I love Him. And I don't want nothing to come between Him and I. For the Christian recognizes this. He recognizes that Jesus, he says there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, he understands when Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." He understands that. He understands that he's just here for a little while. You know, most of us can relate to this next point. To have a family member who's about to pass on from this life to another, whether it be eternal reward or eternal damnation, don't really give much thought to what they're going to be leaving behind. I've never, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Brother Don Wright, I have never, when preaching a funeral, never, ever, 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 ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Never. Never, never. It don't happen. We will never have a U-Haul behind a hearse. And if you did, you're not going to be using whatever you have in that U-Haul anyways. But sometimes we live as if we can take those things. And we got to remember that the Apostle Paul said, was it the Apostle Paul? I'm getting kind of confused now. Naked, I came into this world and was Job, and naked I shall leave. But sometimes we get sidetracked and we believe that we can take these things with us. It was Jesus who said, "But seek first the kingdom of God." Did you see that? Fred, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. My question is, where are my treasures? Is it here in this world composed of stacks of DVDs and CDs and games? Is entertainment interfering with my devotion to God spiritually and financially? This is a subject that we have to contemplate, folks. We will condemn anybody who would try to replace God with idleness and idolatry. But I'm telling you, the God of entertainment, everyone, if we're not careful, we worship at that altar. And in some sense, we replace God with the God of entertainment. So as we come to a close to our lesson tonight, what can I do about my addiction if I have one? Well, the first thing that we should want to do is recognize and confess that, yeah, maybe I'm spending just a little bit too much time playing around. A little bit too much. The second thing is we need to pray. You know, the Bible says there at Psalms 139, verses 23 to 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, this may be scary for some of us to pray, to ask God to search our hearts. But if we want to make changes in our lives, we're going to ask God to search us. We need to pray. The third thing I suggest is to get serious, to get busy. Set our minds on what is most important. As Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 20, he said this, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions," get it please, "of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Or we're adjusting our minds. Or we're setting our minds to serve God. And finally, think about dying. To the Christian, that's not a frightening thought. He says, what? Think about dying. You're not going to be here forever. Those of us who know that we're going to leave at some point will prepare ourselves and make sure daily that we're preparing ourselves. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 at verse number 7 verses 2 to 4. Solomon says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind. And the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by sadness of face, the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Folks, most folks that are about to leave this life, they're not thinking about the upcoming World Series. They're not thinking about the college playoffs. They're not thinking about who's going to win the next NBA championship. They're thinking about whether they lived for God and done all that they could to serve Him. When you walk out this building tonight, don't be the person that say to me, I'm warning you, don't be the person that say to me, well, I guess I can't watch the NBA Finals anymore, friend. I guess I can't be entertained anymore. I got to throw it all up. And out of all due respect, I will say to you in advance, I tell you now, that you're wrong. I did not say that. And that you did not hear me tonight. I didn't say it was wrong to be entertained. I didn't say that we couldn't have fun. I did not say that. What I said was, and my question is, who are we putting first? Who do we have more of? Less of God, more of entertainment? Or more of God, less of entertainment. I did not say that it was wrong to be entertained in its entirety. But the Bible shows us that life is not about being entertained. It's about serving God. It's about praising God. It's about glorifying God. I don't know about you. I understand that the God of entertainment is very addicting. It has been in my life. It has been in your life. I hope that you would think about these things that we said tonight and honestly make a change. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had tonight to come and to study from your word, Father. Yes, when we bow before your throne and we speak of a subject of this nature, it can be shocking to us. Because we don't often think about good and wholesome entertainment and how that it can consume our lives. But Father, it is true that when we use our time on things just to please the flesh, that is a time that we're taking away from you. Father, yes, you have allowed us to enjoy all the things that this earth has to offer. But oftentimes we forget about you, the one who has provided us with all these wonderful blessings. So help us, Father, as people, not to be distracted, not to allow the God of entertainment to dominate our lives. Let us seek to serve you with all of our heart. Let us seek to teach others by our example each and every day that you are the most important thing in our life. And we will live for you for the rest of our lives, bringing glory to thee. Dear Father, we ask that you forgive us when we have fallen short. We beg of your mercy and grace as we strive to extend mercy to others. For this is our prayer that we offer in Jesus' most holy and blessed name. Amen. As we take out your hymn books tonight, we come to this portion of our time together.
to extend God's invitation, Jesus Christ. In just a few moments, we're going to sing number 524, the song that has been selected. But before we do that, I want you to understand that we are here not just to read and to study God's word, but we're here to take advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ, the benefits that he provides us to all who are willing to obey him. As we were talking about entertainment tonight, in the Word of God, we find that there was a rich ruler in the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. And this individual had everything laid out. He worked hard and he was blessed. And this individual, when he had so much crop, the Bible says in verse number 18 of the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, and he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this very night your soul is required of you. This individual was more concerned about things of this earth, that he did not think about investing in his soul. And I'm asking you tonight, are you willing to invest? You see, Jesus has paid the debt for you. And all he asks is for you to have faith and belief in him, repent of your sins, confess that he is the King, that he died and bled for you and I. I don't want you to leave tonight and be like that fool who said, well, maybe tomorrow I will be obedient. Maybe some other time. Maybe when I get all of these things out of my life, then I will come to Jesus. It cannot happen. You might be saying, well, I want to serve him, but I don't think I can be faithful. There's no way you're going to ever be faithful without Jesus, friend. So tonight, don't be a fool. Be wise and submit to the Lord in obedience. You might be here tonight and you've been thinking about the things we've been talking about, and you're guilty of the fact that you haven't been serving God as you ought to as a Christian. Well, the good news is you can repent of that and you can pray to God for forgiveness, and we stand ready to hold your hand and stand with you in faith before the throne of God if you wish to do that. Wherever you are tonight, if you need to put on Jesus in baptism, we want to help you do that. If you're here tonight and you want to repent of some sin that you have done that may brought reproach against this congregation or wherever you may be, use this opportunity. Don't be embarrassed. Use this opportunity to change your life. Wherever you are, please come as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.